Good evening, I'm an alcoholic. My name's Steve. I said it in the prior 4 weeks, so I'm going to say it again tonight. As far as I'm concerned, that's the most important thing I'm going to say from this podium. Three other things I always like to mention are my sponsor, who is a good old timer in these rooms. His name is Andy Daniels. My home group, which meets tonight at 8 o'clock in Northeast. It's an open speaker meeting. Grape City Group. It's a great meeting. I have a second home group. Meets on Monday nights in Northeast at the Big Book and 12 and 12 reading and discussion group. That has probably definitely become my most favorite meeting. And my sobriety date, which is July 15th of 1989. So this past July, I celebrated 30 years of uninterrupted sobriety. So with that said, up until this week, I've been doing these steps like in pairs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And I wasn't sure if 10 and 11 went together. And I was really thinking about it. But for me, anyways, I truly do believe that these two steps run together. I believe these two steps are my spiritual maintenance steps. That's how I like to look at them. And I do believe that they go hand in hand. They work together. So steps 10 and 11, as well as step 12, are what I consider anyways the maintenance steps. Up until now, it's been a lot of work. Well, there's still work to be done, but these for me, like I said, are the more of the everyday maintenance steps. And step 10 suggests that I continue at all times to take a personal inventory and to continue to keep my side of the street clean. I don't believe that this is a one-time thing. I believe step 10 is from now until the day I die. I believe it's a life it's a lifetime thing. I personally don't do a bedtime 10th step like a lot of others do. I've heard a lot of people share that. It's a lot of different ways to do it as far as I'm concerned. I seem to be practicing, or as my sponsor would say, revisiting the 10th step almost always, pretty much throughout my whole day. And I can honestly say that many times throughout the day, I realize that I'm looking over what I'm doing, and I'm revisiting my motives and my take on things. When I've done something wrong, or when I've done it wrong, or I've said something to hurt others, I know in my gut. I don't know about you, but today I get that feeling inside that just isn't right. I just don't feel good about it. And step 10 helps me to correct that. That's how I look at step 10. When I goof up, screw up, and I do, I'm only human, this step here, step 10, helps me if I revisit it, if I practice it, as best I can. Step 10 helps me to correct those wrongs and make the amend or do whatever it is that I need to make it right. That feeling that I was talking about that I get, it seems like it just happened one day, and I'm not sure how to really explain that. But I know it. I know that that's the way it is. And I don't know, maybe that feeling was always there, and I just never recognized it, I know, and I can tell you, in the day of wine and song, I really didn't care if I hurt your feelings. I really didn't care if I pissed you off. And if you pissed me off, my motto was, I don't get mad, I get even. So, You know, I really didn't worry about making amends to people. Of course, I did. My wife and different ones. I said I was sorry a lot of times, but really wasn't making an amend. But, you know, in those days, I don't know if I had that feeling where I felt terrible when I did something like that. But today I do. And I truly believe that that's God working in my life, and I believe that that's from working the prior 9 steps leading up to this, you know. My desire to drink was lifted, for the most part, every day and up till today and still today, I really strive to live this way of life. I really strive to live sober. And there is a big difference, as far as I'm concerned, between just not drinking and living sober. It's like I've said before, it's a design for living. You know, these steps, this program is a design for living. And living sober is a life change. There's a spiritual change. And I truly believe that if I forget where I came from, if I start to rest on my laurels, I'm probably headed for trouble. I really do believe that. And by doing this personal inventory, by keeping my side of the street clean, and by checking my motives and keeping, as best I can, myself on that straight and narrow, so to speak, I believe that's my spiritual journey today. I don't think that there's any spiritual side to AA. I truly believe that AA is a spiritual program, period. And whether you believe that or not is your business, but I believe that. I believe without a spiritual change, there is no recovery. I've been told that early on, and I truly believe that. Steps, like I said, steps 10 and 11 for me are like my real spiritual action steps. Because I'm not cured of this thing. I have alcoholism, not alcoholism. You know, the big book tells me that I'm granted a daily reprieve contingent upon the maintenance of my spiritual conditioning. And for me, maintenance being the most important word. This tells me that every day, one day at a time, I have to maintain my spiritual conditioning in one way or another. For me, practicing step 10 throughout the day is a really big part of that. You know, that's a big part of my working on and growing and maintaining my spiritual conditioning. Am I perfect at it? Absolutely not. But the two most important words, and I've been saying it for 4 weeks, and now this is week number 5, is I'm willing and I try. My sponsor tells me all the time, those are the two most important words for an alcoholic. Willing and try. And when I know I've wronged somebody, I know I have to promptly admit it. But for me, just admitting it isn't enough. I really have to, you know, I don't feel good, I don't feel right about it if I don't try to correct it, whatever it is. And it's not always easy, that's for sure. The big book tells me that by this time, by the time I'm doing step 10, and I've worked through these steps thoroughly, I now have become somewhat God conscious. But if I don't practice step 10 pretty regular, there's times when I experience, and still do, a lot more in early on, like an emotional hangover. And one of the readings that I was looking at, we talked about the emotional hangover. And that is, like for me, it's when I try to overlook something or a sidestep a negative situation to the point that it actually beats me down. And to where I actually wake up and I feel hungover. And I've had it happen many times. And it's an emotional hangover. I'm emotionally drained, I'm emotionally beat up over this situation or whatever it was that happened. That can run into resentment, and I think we all know what that means. That's nothing good out of that. when I'm revisiting step 10, it helps me to realize that it's through God's loving grace that I'm sober today. I'm not just sober out of luck. You know, I used to stand up here and tell you I'm the luckiest guy I know, and I don't believe that today. I'll tell you that I'm the most blessed person I know. And I don't believe I'm here out of sheer luck. I don't think it was just good fortune that got me here. I truly believe that I'm sober today through God's loving grace. I believe that with all my heart. And I don't believe this is anything other than miraculous. I don't believe that there's anything other than divine intervention in this program. That's for me. You know, that's what I believe. I believe that the real success for me is not really mine, it's God's. Sometimes I just seem to show up. You know, the other thing about step 10 that I read in another reading, step 10 reminds me also that I don't have to like everybody, but I need to try and love everybody for who they are. And that's a child of God like myself. They say in these rooms that if you love everybody in AA, you're working a good program. If you like everybody, you aren't going to enough meetings. You know, I have to remember that, you know, I just said that about AA, but I have to remember that I'm practicing these principles in all my affairs. That's not always easy to do. I have to practice these principles. I have to work on this 10th step. I have to make these corrections and whatever in all my affairs. And that's at home with my wife and with my kids. That's at work. That's with friends. That's, you know, that's everywhere. And it's not always easy to do. You know, sometimes I just need to work it out with God. I really do. Sometimes I need to just pray about it and just say, you know, I said a lot of dumb stuff today and I'm really sorry about it. You know, there's not much else I can do but that. But sometimes for me, that's what I have to do to make it right. I have to look at my motives, and a lot of times I have to think about, you know, I have to think it through. I have to think about where things could end up if I continued on the crazy thought process that I might be having at that point in time. And that helps me a lot, you know, because a lot of times I let my perception of things get in the way, and I let my will and my thought process convince myself that it's really God's will. And that's where I have to really look at my motives and keep things in check. But at the end of the day, and even if it seemed to have been a bad day, I really need to find something positive, and I always can. You know, if nothing else, I stayed sober today. That's the most positive thing. But, you know, I truly believe that in everything, even if it's, I hate to say wrong, but for lack of a better word, if it's something that I did wrong, if I learn a lesson from it, then I really don't consider it anything but positive. There's a positive comes out of it. And I believe that I can find a positive in everything if I really look for it. In step 11, I have to seek to improve my conscious contact with my higher power. Now, for me, that tells me that I need to go after it. I need to seek it out. It says sought. And that is to seek out. That is to go after it. I don't believe it's just going to come to me. You know, through prayer and meditation, I have to improve that conscious contact myself. And I do it through prayer and meditation. You know, the God that I believe in today is the same God that I've always believed in. The concept and the picture that I have in my mind and everything of God is the same as it's always been ever since I was a little kid. The concept hasn't changed, but my relationship and my understanding has. And that's been through these steps, through all of the steps, but most importantly through these two steps, that I realize that I have a personal relationship today. You know, when I was growing up as a kid and going to Sunday school and being quote-unquote made to go to church, I just had that same relationship that all you had. We were all sitting in church and we had that relationship with God. Today, through these steps and through this fellowship, I understand, I believe, and I realize that I have my own personal relationship with my own personal God. And whatever yours is awesome. It doesn't have to be the same as mine. And that's the awesome thing about this. You know, I did a Bible study one time, and this pastor that I was working with, he asked me if I knew why I pray. That was a question he asked me one night, and I'll never forget this. We had a really awesome discussion that night. But anyways, and I was kind of set back, and I wasn't really sure how to answer the question because I never really thought about it. And you know, I kind of thought maybe it was a trick question. You know, he's trying to catch me at something. But I really didn't have an answer. I really didn't know. And he explained to me. He told me the reason that I pray is to make me more God-dependent. And I hope I don't ever forget that. The reason that I pray is to make me more God-dependent. You know, he told me that I don't have to explain to God what's going on in my life. Sometimes I think I do. Or how things are here on earth. I think God understands all that. You know, God knows everything. I pray to God to make me rely more on Him. And, you know, For some people in these rooms, higher power is a better word. And I have to mention that because I talk a lot about God, and I don't mean to turn anybody off, but I don't shy away from it either. But like I said, you don't have to believe in the same God that I believe in, nor me and yours. But I do have to believe that something much greater than me is in charge. You know, I had to come to that realization. And even when I say I came to these rooms and I had a belief in God, I don't know that I believed that God was a higher power that was in charge like I understand and believe today. I came to that realization through working these steps. I do believe that. In steps 2 and 3, the initial basics for step 11 were started. Coming to believe that a power greater than me can and will restore me, and I make a simple decision to turn it all over to this higher power of mine. This tells me that this higher power is my own personal source of guidance and power. Step 11 tells me that I can have this guidance and power when I seek it. You know, that's what I have to look at. That I have to reach out for it. I have to go after it. I believe that's a big part of step 11. AA is a program that's all-inclusive. Like I said, it doesn't really matter what your higher power is. It's just that you have one. That I have one, and that I work on improving my relationship through intimate prayer and meditation. That pastor also taught me that there isn't just one way to pray, but the important part is, what's important is the results that I get in my way of living through that prayer. Sometimes I just have to talk with God. You know, sometimes I have formal prayer also. But there's sometimes I just talk with God. I think that's just a reassurance to myself that I believe this is real. I really do. It's like I'm talking to a friend, you know. And I do it a lot, obviously, when I'm by myself, which is probably a good thing. You don't want to be standing in an elevator full of people talking up to the sky. Well, then again, maybe you can. I don't know. It's up to you. But anyway, you know, I do. I find myself doing this a lot. If I'm in a pickle or a jam or whatever, and I just kind of like talk it out, you know, and it really, it does help me. It reassures me that this stuff is all real, that this isn't just hocus pocus. Step 11 tells me to pray for the knowledge of His will and the power to carry that will out. I need to be careful here because I don't always know what God's will for me is. But I do definitely know what His will isn't for me. Don't always know what it is, but I do definitely know what it isn't. There is no doubt about that. I have to be aware that, like I said, I don't look to my will and perceive it as God's. And it's always so important for me to keep my motives in check. Because, like I said, I can get to thinking the way Steve wants things to go and Steve wants things to happen. And I can get my mind up here, the squirrels start working, and I can get myself believing that that's God's will for me. And sometimes I really need to just stop and really seriously pray about something and look at my motives and see, you know, is there a selfish, self-centered motive? And my motives are a big part. When I do pray, I try not to ask for things for myself, but more for others. And that's something totally new for me. Not new just now, but new since I've come into AA. Because, I don't know about you, but I had a whole hell of a lot of foxhole prayers. You know, God, get me out of this one, and I promise I won't do it again. Until tomorrow, and I forget all about that promise, and I'm off and running again. You know? Come to out of a blackout in jail, not knowing why you're there. It's really easy to find God. You know? So, you know, for me today, I really, really, really try not to pray for anything for myself except sobriety. Well, and acceptance and different things. But I pray for others. I pray for those less fortunate and those suffering. I pray for people that I know are sick and go, you know, so on and so forth. And that's what I've been taught, and it works. It's I pray for acceptance, like I said, of things that are going on in my life right now. A lot of times there's things going on that I'm not real happy with, that I wish were different, and I want to try to change, and I don't have the power to change them. You know, that I have to remember that serenity prayer, you know, and I have to accept the things that I can't change, and I have to have the wisdom to know the difference. I can't see the big picture, even though sometimes, you know, I'm looking off into the future. It's like I shared a couple of weeks ago, you know, a few things that are going on at work right now, and I'm already projecting 14 months into the future when I'm going to retire. Hopefully I'm going to make it to, I don't even know if I'm going to live 14 minutes, let alone 14 months. But, you know, I have to be real careful, and my sponsor talks to me all the time about that, you know. If it's not happening right now, don't worry about it. It's like the old saying, be careful what you pray for because you might get it, you know. What I want today might just be what I really don't want, you know, farther down the road. I don't know. I can't see the big picture, like I said. I used to pray for patience and tolerance every day, you know, and then I would find myself a giant eagle in the 25 items or less line behind some lady with 47 items, and there was 47 because I counted them. I'm ready to blow a gasket on this lady, and then she pulls out a bunch of coupons to boot, you know. And by the time I'm ready to rip everybody's face off, and I leave there and I get outside and I realize, you know, you ask God this morning to help you with your patience and tolerance, and He puts you in a situation where you can be patient and tolerant, and what do? You know, I asked for that situation, really, you know. These are the things that come to light with me today that I never would have thought of, you know. So, I don't pray for patience and tolerance anymore. I just pray for acceptance. You know, I've really just talked about prayer and not meditation. Although I do think they go together, I really don't I really don't practice meditating. I've tried different ways and I haven't had a whole lot of success with it. I don't know if it's because I can't sit still. I don't know exactly. But I have been told that praying is talking to God and meditation is listening for a response. So what I do try to do is at least slow down in my prayer. Some mornings are better than others. Some mornings I'm just ripping and tearing. And I'm, you know, saying the prayers as I'm jumping in my truck and driving to work. And other mornings I'm out in the backyard with the dog and I'm really taking my time. And I'm, you know, and I can feel the difference. But I'm trying to work on quiet time. I'll say that much. And I think that's really important. And it's just not a big thing of mine, you know. But it's progress, not perfection. I need to remember that. And once again, I'm willing, and I try. Steps 10 and 11 help me daily to continue to build a solid spiritual program. I know I need God at the center of my life, and even if I'm not sure of His will at that moment, I'm always granted the power to carry it out. I do believe that. Even if I'm not sure what it is, I know that God's given me the power to carry it out. I do believe that. An old timer told me early on that we have all the power we need. We have God's will and we have God's power. Thank you.
This is the part where we ask Steve some questions about what he's spoken about tonight or anything to do with the steps that he's already covered. This is the part where I get to ask the... Oh, there we go.
Steve, thanks a lot. That was a good message there. The when you were going over step 11, the St. Francis prayers in the 12 and 12, and I do believe it's in the big book too. And I've found that when I'm haywire, and if I think about it, go to that and I read it, and I read it, and then I read it, and it'll calm me down and let me almost get into a meditated state where I'm not thinking of anything but what I just read. I just wonder what your thoughts are in that prayer.
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up, and I apologize. I forgot to even mention. I think the 11th step prayer is really important. And it is in the book, and I apologize for omitting it, but I do, yeah, it is very important, and I do recite the prayer a lot, almost probably as much as the Serenity Prayer. It does help a lot. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. It says we're not organized in the traditions, and this is apparent with this meeting for sure. We live by that tradition. Anyway, I want to thank you for coming out. Steps 10 and 11. When you're working with people, it's a kind of a piggyback question. When you're working with people, how do you approach steps 10 and 11 since you've already worked?
I think I might have said this already a couple of weeks ago, but I honestly think there's times, at least for me anyways, and probably a lot of the people that I work with as well, that I'm practicing these steps before I even get to them, you know. I mean, I'm definitely the very beginning, it is, and I even mentioned in there that I think the pre-part of it is 2 and 3 that lead really into step 11. I think, like I said, they're maintenance steps, so as far as I'm concerned, I'm praying long before I get to step 11. And I was actually looking at my motives and a personal inventory to a certain extent before I got to step 10 as well. I mean, I think they're in order for that reason, that once I've gotten through 9, which I believe are the basic action steps, 1 through 9, and then 10, 11, and 12 are kind of just like a finality of it all as far as I'm concerned, and get into the maintenance of the daily, you know. 2 and 3 got me started, 4 was a written inventory, and now 10 I'm going to do, whether it's just in my mind or talk it out with God or whatever it is, on a regular basis, on a daily basis.
The question of, you have over 30 years of sobriety, I'd like to know what your own personal evolution was from like the first time that you started working the steps in 10 and 11, and then your own evolution to where it went from, I don't know, how many years sober you were, went through steps 10 and 11, but you know, say that's not 2 years. Over the last decade and a half, how do you see your own personal evolution?
I think, to be honest with you, when my prior sponsor, when I worked the steps with him, we pretty much just worked through 8 and into 9. And then, like I said, it was pretty much presented to me that 10, 11, and 12 were kind of just clumped together and just carry them out on a regular basis. To be honest with you, this has helped me a lot just in the last few weeks by having to do this. Like I said, it is a heck of a commitment, but I'm really grateful now that you asked me to do it, and I'm glad I did, because it's helped me tremendously. Some of the stuff that I've gone back and looked up and read, I haven't read a lot of this stuff in years, and it really did. So it evolved me even in the last couple of weeks, in the last few weeks, to better myself with this. And it's going to help me that much more. So.
Thanks, Steve. That's it.